Few avenues and little time remain for First Nations challenging the Site C Mega Dam project. With environmental permits handed out long ago and construction underway, those opposing the project were dealt another blow this week. On Monday, the Federal Court of Appeal dismissed a lawsuit from two BC First Nations. The Prophet River and West Moberly First Nations argue the flooding of the Peace River infringes on their constitutionally protected treaty rights. Gordon Christie is a professor of law at UBC's Allard School of Law. He's Indigenous and focuses on Indigenous legal issues, and he joins us on the line this morning. Hello.
Good morning.
Professor Christie, what do you make of Monday's ruling?
It was disappointing, but not surprising.
Why wasn't it surprising?
The courts in Canada have actually not been particularly helpful for First Nations the last 10 or 15 years. I know it looks that way to the public, perhaps, but most of the decisions have not been going the way that I would think they would if the courts were really trying to promote things like reconciliation and some way forward.
Yeah, how significant would you say the judge's decision is in terms of future Indigenous consultation with industrial projects?
Well, unfortunately, this is going to sound a bit paradoxical, but they actually spent quite a bit of time talking about consultation, and that's part of the problem, because the Treaty 8 nations were talking about their treaties and not about talking about projects like this. They wanted to have their treaty rights discussed. So the problem really is with all those treaty nations across Canada, from the Maritimes out to northeastern BC and the Douglas Treaties in southern Vancouver Island. Those people have agreements with the Crown that the Crown now seems to be able to disignore.
How so?
Well, the Treaty 8 nations are asking just that this matter of taking up, which is a thing within the treaties, the province and federal government allowed to take up land for purposes, whether that would just be considered, given that they have a treaty right to continue to hunt and fish and trap as formerly. And the Federal Court of Appeals said that matter of working out whether too much land has been taken up is not something that the government had to decide when they're approving the dam. It seems ridiculous, because that seems like a major issue. If they're going to put a dam in place and flood lots of land, of course they should be thinking about whether they're infringing on the treaty rights of the people who have treaties there.
I'd like to put this into context and compare this to the Silcateen decision. That was a landmark Supreme Court ruling about Aboriginal title. Why do you think the outcomes of these two cases are so different?
Well, to be, I guess, blunt about it, The thing about the Tchekoten decision is that it takes place in that part of BC, which is most of BC, where there are no treaties. And there are some major issues that have to be resolved, and the court has taken a step in that direction with that decision. But in the areas of BC, which is really primarily just the northeast corner where you guys are,
mm-hmm.
You've got an historic treaty, and the Crown is treating as if that answers all the questions, as if that resolves all the problems. The treaty is an agreement, and you have to follow the agreement. But the Crown is treating the treaty as if it just settled all matters and they can just go ahead and do whatever they want to do. So two completely different views of what is going on here. The Treaty 8 nations are saying, well, look, we've got a treaty, so you have to pay attention to it. And the Crown is saying, we have a treaty, we don't have to think about things anymore. So very different ways of treating the problems.
Would you suggest that in this case the Crown is going so far as breaking that treaty, that agreement?
That's the question we want to have looked at, right? That's what the courts have been asked to examine, and this signal they sent is, those questions don't have to be worked out unless you want to spend lots of money and go through a full court process. That's what they said, is that the Treaty 8 nations can go ahead and launch an action. So they're basically telling the Treaty 8 nations, look, if you want to spend a couple $100,000, then we can settle these questions. But this 3 or 4 year long process of looking at the dam, that wasn't meant to look at these matters. So It's basically forcing First Nations to somehow come up with the money to go to court every single time they want to have some little matter looked at, as opposed to just having the treaty partners. Like, Canada is a treaty nation, right? They're the other side of the treaty. Canada should sit down with the Treaty 8 nations every time there's a dispute and work out things, instead of having everything litigated.
Professor Christie, what options remain now for the Prophet River and West Moberly First Nations?
Well, they can appeal this to Supreme Court of Canada and cross their fingers and hope that some of those people in Ottawa will actually think about things in a reasonable manner. I wouldn't put a huge amount of... I wouldn't think that that's necessarily going to lead the way they want to go. But they can do that. Of course, they'll have to come up with the resources to pursue that action. Otherwise, they don't have a lot of options left. They can start a separate action now and try and assert they have treaty rights, but that would take years to go through the courts. And by that time, I imagine the dam will be completely filled with water behind it. So it's not a good situation to be in.
I'm curious to ask you, how serious do you think that the Canadian conversation about treaty rights should be? Should we be talking about this more regularly?
Oh, of course, yeah, because these are basic agreements that led to the creation of the country. You know, Canada doesn't like to think of them that way, but that's unquestionably what they are. The Treaty 8 agreement, for example, is what opened up the Treaty 8 area for settlement, so it's part of the constitutional framework of the country. So, you know, it should be seen as extremely important by all parties, and Canada has taken a very different approach. So it's just going to lead to more conflict.
Gordon Christie, appreciate your thoughts this morning.
Not a problem.
Gordon Christie is a professor of law at the University of British Columbia, and his focus is on Indigenous legal issues. We turn it to you. How much should we be paying attention to treaty issues as Canadian citizens, and what do you think about this court case? What precedent does it set? You can let us know, 1-866-340-1932. We're also on Facebook and Twitter at Daybreak North.